Welcome to the Pain to Power podcast, where we have engaging, informed, and interesting conversations on topics including women's health, the menstrual cycle, chronic pain, trauma, the nervous system, relationships, and feminism. I'm Lisa Dion. I'm a women's health coach, facilitator, and educator, supporting you on your journey of healing, recovery, and moving into a place of personal power in your body and in your life. Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 23 of the From Pain to Power podcast. I'm going to do a little cycle check-in with you today. So yeah, where are you at in your cycle? How do you feel? How does your body feel? How are you in your head? How are you in your emotions, your appetite, your libido, your energy levels? All these things will shift and change as we move through our menstrual cycle. And today I'm on day 27 and there's a good bit of tension in my body, and I literally had to have a big cry before coming on to this podcast, before recording this podcast, just processing some stuff. And sometimes when I'm clinging on to emotions, I then get a lot of resistance and I feel really tired and a bit kind of this sort of freezy energy. So just letting myself take a minute to feel what's there, and if there's tears, just letting them come. And it's a really good energy clearing for me to sometimes just let that happen. And sometimes we don't even need to know the reason, it's just there, and that's okay. So I'm going to take it gently with myself, but yeah, just checking in with yourself, seeing how you are. And you can go and learn about the different seasons again back in previous episodes of this podcast. I have an episode on each season, you can check it out. And yeah, we're going to continue this conversation about the inner critic. It's such a huge part of who we are. It's a big part of our psychology, also our physiology, I believe. A big part of our upbringing, also our social, cultural kind of identity as well. And yeah, this is the second episode of a four-part series. So if you are tuning into this one, I would encourage you to go back to the previous episode, episode 22, which was all about meeting the inner critic, where we talked about what the inner critic was and the different ways that it shows up in our lives. And then there was an exercise for you at the end to reflect on the different identities, the different faces of your inner critic, and the main ways that shows up for you and the nuances of that. Because the more we get to know our critic, the better we can be in relationship with it. So like any relationship, I guess. And in this episode, we are going to talk about boundarying the inner critic. Okay, so that's the sort of second stage in this process that I've developed for myself, or that this is a process that organically evolved for me personally over many years. And when I graduated from my second training with the Red School under Alexander Pope and Shani Hugo-Wurlitzer, I was training in something called the Menstrual Medicine Circle. One of the things that they said to me was that the next kind of stage for me as a practitioner and as a healer and even on my own journey was to develop my relationship with my inner critic. And at the time I didn't know what they meant, and I remember Alexander saying like, yeah, that's going to be a real like kind of skill for you. It'll be a learning edge for you, but it's really going to give you a lot of power, is really getting to know your inner critic. And I just didn't know what she was on about. I was just like, I don't want to know my inner critic. What's the point of that? But now in hindsight, I know what she means, and I have my version of what she means as well, which is the process that I'm outlining here in this podcast series. And yeah, I'm really, really glad to say that I don't have a perfect relationship with my inner critic, but I have a relationship with my inner critic. I know my inner critic pretty well. And so when my inner critic gets stronger than it normally is, it's usually, it kind of is an indicator of something else happening, if that makes sense. So it's kind of part of my intuition as well. Like, I believe in terms of when we talk about intuition, that intuition isn't just this like yes or no gut feeling. I think intuition is something that takes many forms and nuances and subtleties. I did a podcast episode on jealousy, and I talked about how when we experience jealousy, that can also be a way that our intuition shows up. And I also believe that when we have an inner critic experience, it can be very much connected to our intuition. It could be connected to our psychic powers. It can be connected to our high sensitivity. To our creativity as well, to our desires. So it's not just something that we should be constantly batting off. Learning to know it, learning to be in relationship with it, learning to integrate it, which is ultimately the end of this process. We'll get to that in the fourth episode of this 4-part series. But yeah, it's definitely a process and it just takes a bit of time to work with. So with that said, let's dive into today's topic, which is boundarying the inner critic. And just to remind you, if you're interested in this work and in the way that I work and you'd like more help with your personal journey, you can head over to my website, lisadeyoungcoaching.com, and you can book a free consultation. I'm currently taking new one-to-one clients. I offer an initial 3-month coaching package, which is an in-depth coaching. And we work on what it is that you need support with, whether it's to do with your cycle, your psychology around your menstrual cycle, your mental health, or if you're on a journey of healing and recovery and you want more in-depth work, or you've been around the block and you've done a lot of courses and read a lot of books and been to a lot of therapists or doctors. I do specialize in working with those people who are really stuck and are stuck with their progression. So you can head on over to my website, lisadeyoungcoaching.com, book a consult, and we can have a chat about how we can work together. Okay, so once you've listened to the first episode of this particular 4-part series on meeting the inner critic, episode 22, and hopefully when you've done the exercise, or even if you just half done it or just thought about it, which is more than enough, then you might realize that when we haven't fully integrated our inner critic, the inner critic can actually present itself in our lives in lots of different ways. And you might feel like it's a bit all over the place. It's part of your own personal stuff. It could be linked to your stuff that you learned in your family system, or it could remind you of someone in your family and where you learned these things or things that you didn't learn. It can be also sociocultural stuff. So it could be messages that we've internalized from our school, from our communities, from our country, from our culture, from the news, from the media, from social media, from our peer groups, from our friendship groups, from our workplaces, all these places that we, you know, from advertising, from marketing places, all just the world, the sociocultural environment that we live in and the messaging that we receive. And, you know, when you start to look at it, you might feel a sense of, you know, the inner critic itself being out of control in your life and a bit all over the place. It might feel scary, or it might feel overwhelming or confusing. And as a result, you might feel powerless with it and, you know, that it dominates you. It might have even a kind of a destroyer energy or a sabotaging kind of quality about it. And so that's where we can find ourselves when we start to look at this really honestly. We can feel like, wow, this is really big. There's a lot here. Or you mightn't feel like it's a lot. It could just be quite strong in particular areas or in particular ways it shows up. So you might be someone who, you know, your inner critic presents as always comparing yourself, or it might present as always making negative assumptions and protecting yourself from things. Okay, so whatever way it looked for you is your experience. It's very valid. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not broken. There's lots of work we can do on this to heal it, to integrate it, to work with it. But I just, the reason I'm saying all this is because I remember in, like, when I think back to younger years when I started working on this for myself, like, I didn't know I was going on this process. As I said, it unfolded organically. But I remember when I got to this stage of feeling like, oh my God, it's just everywhere. And like, why does it keep coming back? And it's so strong. And it felt kind of relentless. And, you know, the more I looked at it, the more kind of powerless I felt. And I felt really upset about it, because I guess what was happening was I was being honest with myself, and I was allowing myself to unveil this, you know, this inner critic and what it looked like and what it felt like and what it sounded like. And it was just horrible. It was really horrible, right? So it's not comfortable. So again, let's come back to gentleness, pacing yourself, you know, having a cup of tea while you're listening to this, you know, making sure you're doing things to regulate your nervous system as well, and look after yourself while you're doing this work. That's really important. Okay. So when you've gotten to that stage of you have some clarity of what it looks like and you're able to give it a place and name it for what it is, and especially those nuances and the subject matter in which it pops up for you in your life or in the context, some people might feel an inner critic more strongly like in social groups than they do by themselves, or the opposite. You know, you might feel an inner critic stronger when you're alone versus when you're with people. Okay. So the next step on this stage and what this episode's all about is, and it sounds easy, but this isn't easy. This is hard work, right? And you're going to have to be consistent with this and persistent with it as well. And it will also start with not feeling it, but you're kind of have to take this approach of like fake it till you make it. So you're kind of getting used to this practice and doing it anyway, even if it doesn't like feel true to you, right? And it might sound fluffy, but I really mean everything I'm going to say from now on, I really mean this very seriously, right? And it's not fluffy, I promise. It's really important. And it is a skill we have to learn. It is a muscle we have to develop. And it is a default mechanism in our brains that we need to learn how to come to. And it just takes time. So this part is boundarying the inner critic, okay? And so boundarying the inner critic looks like having fierce self-compassion. So when you recognize the inner critic coming up, when it starts to come up again, whether it's comparing or internalizing or judgments or worrying thoughts about the future, now that you have done your awareness work on it, you can then start to make a choice in terms of how to respond to it in the moment, okay? Or if it's not in the moment, it could be an hour later or a few days later, okay? So taking the tool of fierce self-compassion and like literally saying to yourself, this feels really painful, and what can I do to be compassionate to myself? So, you know, taking an action is self-compassionate, like making a cup of tea, lighting a candle, journaling, going for a walk, meeting with a friend, talking it out, having a cry, getting in the bath, or, you know, having a sort of a compassionate conversation with yourself, or putting your hand on your heart or on your head or on your womb space and just kind of tending to yourself, giving yourself some inner parenting skills, some inner parenting energy. Okay, so that's something that you need to do. And then having boundaries with the inner critic is that will look like, you know, compassion, saying to yourself, oh, I need to put the stick down. Not now. This is not the time. This is not the place. You're being too loud. You are no longer allowed to be this loud in my life. You are no longer allowed to destroy my life. I no longer am allowing you to get in the driver's seat. I'm in the driver's seat. Yes, I'm going to acknowledge you when I feel the time is right. But for now, I'm doing this boundary work and it's non-negotiable. It is a non-negotiable step in the process that I am now going to set very strong and fiercely compassionate boundaries with this energy of my inner critic. I don't know yet exactly where it's coming from. I don't know yet who it belongs to, but it feels like shit. And I've done a lot of work in terms of looking at it. And for now, at this stage, I'm going to set some really, really strong boundaries with myself, because the way things are going right now in my life, this inner critic has been so strong, it is not sustainable and it's keeping me stuck, and the energy of it is no longer serving me. Yes, it might have been a protective response in the past. This also is most likely or could be connected to trauma. But for now, I know that this is no longer serving me. I'm going to figure you out. I am going to listen to you. We're going to go on this journey together. We're going to get support for this. But right now I really need to learn how to be boundaried with my inner critic. Okay. So that's like, that is, you know, deep, like power work, right? And really, really stepping into your ownership with that, really stepping into your power with that, even if it doesn't feel true to you. I just think that from my own experience and from working with people, taking this one step on the process, if this isn't the answer to it, but it is an important step, because we learn to have strong boundaries with ourselves. We learn to have fierce self-compassion. We learn to have fierce kindness with ourselves. We learn how to say to ourselves, I'm going to drop the stick. I'm not going to berate myself. Not now. And then we come into the space of actually being able to cherish ourselves. And the reason I'm using that word is because that's a word that was given to me by Alexandra Pope, one of my teachers in Red School. And when I was doing training with her, there were a lot of people in the group who were really suffering quite badly with a very strong inner critic. And her prescription, if you will, was to take a whole year of not listening to the inner critic and just trying to default every week, every day. Like the response would be, when you notice your inner critic, to coming back to cherishing yourself in whatever way that it looks like. So that can be, again, hand on heart. It could be, you know, taking a breath. It could be going for a walk. It could be talking things through with someone else, or just talking things through with yourself. Or just, you know, letting yourself be in the pain of it, but not trying to resist it. So lots of kindness and cherishing yourself. It could be taking a bath in the afternoon. So that's really important, is to learn to boundary yourself, self-compassion, and cherish yourself. And then when it comes to menstrual cycle awareness, this is also important because it's a layer that I, and a lens that I work through. So the inner critic, when we get to the next episode, which is going to be about getting to know the critic and talking to the critic and then integrating the critic, we will talk about what season the inner critic belongs in more detail. But the inner critic belongs in the inner autumn, in the premenstrual phase. That's where its natural home is. That's where our discerning energy is. So it needs to stay in there in a boundaried container. Okay. So if you're experiencing your inner critic coming up in your inner winter, if you're lying on the couch and you're in pain and you're scrolling on social media, comparing yourself to people, you have to work on this piece around self-discipline and boundaries and inner kindness. Even if it doesn't come naturally, even if it doesn't feel authentic and true, the more you practice, like cycling a bike, or learning to speak a new language, or when a child is, you know, brushing, when a baby is, not a baby, a toddler, when a mother is starting to teach a toddler how to brush its teeth, it's going to be, because I know this because I did this recently with my nephews, it's going to rebel and not want to do it. But over time, you know, 34 years later, it's a default. I don't think about it. It's like just in my routine every day, minimum twice a day, I brush my teeth. It's just there. Okay. Default. I could do it with my eyes shut. Okay. So the same thing with this boundary and self-compassion piece. And so coming back to the menstrual cycle, it doesn't belong in any season except for the inner autumn, especially not in the inner winter, because that's when we're physically and mentally vulnerable, and in the inner spring, because that's also a tender time. So the inner critic can come in the inner spring quite easily, because estrogen is picking up, and that's the time when we are starting to pay attention to the outside world again on a psycho-energetic level, psychosomatic level. And so it's kind of fertile ground for the inner critic to come in, because of the world being so goal and achievement and results and image oriented, that we can then instantly go into this like, oh, I'm not enough, you know, crap in the inner spring. So the inner spring, the sacred task that Alexandra taught us is to cherish ourselves in the inner spring. And, you know, it really, really is a learned skill. That is not something that I just automatically did. It took a lot of coaching and a lot of mentoring and going to support groups and all the work that I've done to be able to default to that. And I'm really, really glad I've done this work, because it's just helped me so much in my life. And I know a lot of you have done this work as well and are listening, and you'll have things to contribute. So if you have other thoughts and opinions and experiences on this, please do give me an email, send me an email, lisa@lisadeyoungcoaching.com. I'm also going to be doing live workshops very soon, hopefully from September, and hopefully about once a month as well, where I will be teaching on different topics and there'll be live coaching. So keep an eye out for that. Do sign up to my mailing list, which you can find the link to on my website. And that is it, I guess, for this episode. This one was kind of shorter because at the end of the day, there's really one message in it, which is to boundary the critic and, you know, the practice of self-compassion and self-kindness. So for the exercise for this one, I want you to think about, how can you remind yourself to do that? Okay, so that's where the power comes in, is how can we set ourselves up for success here? So for me, I have a few things that help me to remember that. Because I have a couple of mentors, and I have had different mentors in my life, and peers and people I've had conversations with. So one of my friends, actually Kate Codrington, who I had on the podcast recently, in a conversation with her, one of the things that she does was, she kind of, when her inner critic comes in, she has this way of responding to it, which is kind of a roll the eyes approach of, oh, you know, that old thing again, you know, and she doesn't give it too much power. So she just kind of acknowledges it's there. It's a gentle acknowledgement. And she just says, oh, here we go again, you know, and it's got a little bit of humor to it. Kind of, oh, you know, of course it's here. A bit like the rain in Ireland. Oh, of course, you know, it's going to rain just when I put my summer dress on. So a bit like that kind of energy. Then I have another mentor who often says to me, Lisa, you need to put down the stick. So that's a good one. I like that one. And I also have a fridge magnet that says kind words in a pink heart. And I happened to have that fridge magnet, but I once had a client in a group program that I was facilitating a few years ago who we were working on was, how do we relate to ourselves with our self-care when it seems as though it's not working and we still have period pain, or we have, you know, menstrual suffering, and we're doing all of this, you know, self-care and healing work, but then we still have pain. Like, how do I then relate to myself in that? And one of the Lexi is her name, if she's listening, hi. She said to the group, and I took this as well as wisdom, was, you know, to just try to default to kindness, to be kind to yourself when, you know, when things don't go as expected. And that's really important. So, you know, we say these things to our friends, we tell our friends all the time, you know, be kind to yourself, be compassionate. And it is a lot easier said than done. It's not just something that just kind of happens upon us, but it is obviously helpful when people remind us, and I constantly need reminding all the time, which is why I have a fridge magnet and, you know, little mantras and things. And I, maybe if I'm really stuck with it, I might put my hand on my heart and just breathe and feel it, you know, or I allow my inner critic to kind of have some space. But we're going to talk about that in the next episode, which is all about having a conversation with the inner critic. But for now, if you find yourself with a strong inner critic and it's crippling you and sending you into a lot of this freeze response and preventing you from moving forward in your life, don't worry, we've got your back. you're supported. We're doing the work together. And right now, for where we're at right now, the task is to just build up this skill. We're kind of taking the focus off the inner critic, if you will, and we're putting the focus on building up that muscle and the voice of the inner champion, the inner support, the inner like muscle about self-compassion and self-kindness, and really, really feeding that, giving that lots of protein powder and lots of energy and lots of space, because that is going to be what we need in order to have an integrated relationship with our inner critic. Okay, so I leave you with that. And as a reminder, I am taking consultations for the menstrual cycle coaching and facilitation professional training. We are beginning in October. It's now 2022, but I do it every year beginning in October. So you can follow the link in the show notes if you're interested in becoming a menstrual cycle coach or integrating that into your professional practice. And again, if you would like personalized one-to-one support with me as your coach, as your mentor, with this work, with your recovery work, with your healing work, or even professionally, head on over to my website and set up a consult, and I will see you there. Have a lovely rest of your week, and I will see you in the next episode of the 4-part series of The Inner Critic. Bye. Thank you for joining today's conversation. This community, these topics, and the stories I share are not possible without all of you being part of the journey. If you are interested in getting more support for your own personal process, head on over to my website, lisadeyoungcoaching.com, to book a consultation call with me. Or you can sign up for a free course there as well. And as always, please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your friends. Lots of love for the week, and see you next time.